Welcome, everybody, to week 9 / week 10 of the Westford Fantasy Football Podcast. I took a bye week last week, so I'm going to focus on both week 9 and week 10 in this podcast. So there will be a lot more focus on the week that just happened than you're typically used to hearing on this podcast. So let's delve a little deeper into what happened in week 9. And we're going to do that by using a format that Steve created in our Westford Fantasy Baseball League called Studs, Duds, and Buds. So what that typically is when you're giving your stud, dud, and bud, you're saying, who was my best player this week? Or who was the player who way outperformed what he should have and helped me, most helped me win? Dud was your worst player, so the obvious opposite of a stud. And then Bud is the worst player on the other team, or the player on the other team that really made sure that you were going to win. So without further ado, let's get to the week 9 matchups. So I played Katie this week, and I did end up winning, but this was by far the worst matchup of the week. I won without 100 points. I brought that all-time record to a tie, 3-3 all-time. My stud, Alex Smith, he didn't even have one of his better games. He threw his first pick all year, but he did score 26.5 points. But most of that was because he got an absolute garbage time touchdown at the end of the first half. The Cowboys were playing really deep just to prevent a long distance touchdown. And instead they just dumped it off to Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill let his blocking come and help him sneak his way into the end zone. That got me like 10 or 12 points, which was very helpful in a week in which my team was pretty terrible. Thanks in large part to my dud, AJ Green, was getting wrecked by the Jaguars. This rookie, I forget his name, was just absolutely shutting him down. And then the rookie shoved him to the ground and called him soft. And then AJ Green just was fucking sick of it. He got up, put this guy in a headlock, flipped him over his back, and then started trying to like ground and pound him, literally throwing punches at a helmet, which is largely ineffective. But it was effective in getting AJ Green ejected. Thankfully, not suspended for week 10, but those 1.6 points that AJ Green got me were not very helpful. The guy that was actually most helpful to my team this week was the Bud, Leonard Fournette on Katie's team. He missed a team picture and like didn't see the doctor at some point, and he got himself benched. And so obviously the Jaguars weren't sweating the Bengals, because they benched their best player to send a message to the rest of the team. And Leonard Fournette had just come off a bye, and he was having, I think, like ankle issues or something, but he missed a game or two as well other than that bye. So he's not been helping Katie lately, but he should be back to full strength, so Katie should return to form a little bit. All right, next matchup, Steve and Devin. So everyone expected Steve to win, and he did, and he won in dominant fashion. He put up 164 points, but Devin also put up 130 points. So it sucks to be Devin, because he would have beat almost anyone else that week. But the stud for Steve, Alshon Jeffrey, and there were players on his team that scored more points, but no one scored more. Like, Alshon Jeffrey just hasn't been playing that well lately. Steve took him in the fourth round, and until this week, he hadn't really been playing like it. Two touchdowns. I think it was like 5 receptions, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So I think he was the single biggest reason Steve was able to just destroy his projected points this week. Dud. And this guy didn't have a terrible week, but he did have an awesome matchup. So Cooper Kupp was playing the Giants, but only managed 8 points. But, you know, could be a lot worse. I think everyone else's dud this week is a lot worse than that. Bud. So this guy put up a goose egg for Devin, and Devin's been struggling to find a good tight end since the beginning, because he was really counting on Tyler Eifert all year. But Ryan Griffin, man, you really expected Tom Savage to hit Ryan Griffin, because he needed someone that he could just dump it out to because he wasn't going to get it downfield. But when you throw the ball 16 times to DeAndre Hopkins, you're probably not throwing it many times to the tight end position. Ryan Griffin, 0 points. Big time bud for Steve there. And Steve improves to 7-5 all time against Devin. All right, next matchup, Marissa and Stevie. So Marissa did end up winning here. She brings the matchup against Stevie to 10-3 all time. So she's pretty dominant. Matthew Stafford's her stud here. He scored over 30 points against Green Bay on Monday night. Marissa has always had a pretty good team, but her quarterback is never typically the reason that she has a good team. Matthew Stafford is actually looking really good this year, and he seems to have come into his own right at the right time for Marissa. The guy who did not help Marissa at all, her dud, is Blair Walsh, the kicker that she picked up in the free agency. She would have been just as well off if she just played her regular kicker on bye. But yeah, Blair Walsh with the goose egg, missed a couple field goals, not really helping Marissa's cause. But who is helping Marissa's cause, at least last week, was Ed Dixon. Stevie plays Ed Dixon, and he puts up a goose egg. You think Ed Dixon's going to come in and get some of those targets that Greg Olsen typically does, because Cam Newton loves throwing to the tight end. But apparently he doesn't love throwing to Ed Dixon. All right, next matchup. And this matchup, I think, was the most interesting from week 9 because we all were looking at Galligan and D as both of them as imposters. Neither of them, based on point total, should really be in the playoffs, but they find themselves, you know, 2-3 respectively. I personally wanted D to win. I'd rather D be 7-2 and Galligan be 5-4 because Galligan is then we might be able to knock him out of the playoffs. But it was not to be. Galligan did win and go 6-3. The all-time record now is six wins, 9 losses for Galligan. So it's still in D's favor. But this win is largely thanks to his big-time stud this week, Marvin Jones Jr. Coming into Monday night, D was projected to win and win pretty easily. But when Marvin Jones Jr. puts up 30 points, it's tough. And so Galligan did pull this off. No thanks to his dud, Jameis Winston, who went out with an injury in, I think, the end of the first half in the Tampa Bay game. And wow, did the Buccaneers shit the bed against New Orleans. But the bud, and this is a very surprising bud, the player on D's team that helped Galligan the most was LeSean McCoy. I expected a pretty big game from LeSean McCoy against the Jets. The Jets have been doing really well against running backs, but not really in the passing game. But shockingly, LeSean McCoy, no receptions. So this likely will be LeSean McCoy's worst game all season, but it was just in time for Galligan, who is now 6-3. Next matchup, Weber and Tim. Weber did get this win. Tim put up 125 points, but Weber, continuing his streak of being a very boomer bust team, scored 147 points this week, which is over 100 points more than what he scored one other week this year. So again, very boom and bust. Thanks in large part to his stud, Jared Cook. And Jared Cook was not the highest scoring player on his team, but when you get 21 points from kind of a shitty tight end, you're doing really well. Dud, and I'm not going to attribute this dud status to Davante Adams' skills. I'll attribute this to Hundley, probably the worst quarterback going right now, other than possibly Tom Savage. And Bud, continuing in that Packers game, Aaron Jones only scored like 4 points. Aaron Jones went from looking to be like a really big time stud, at least for the end of the season, to being, you know, a liability this week for Tim. Last matchup. Oh, and I forgot to say, Weber improves to 6-2 all time against him. All right, last matchup, Trevor and Sweeney. Trevor really needed this win to stay in the playoff hunt, and he got it. He improves to 4-5. Sweeney drops to 4-5. Their all-time matchup is now 2-2. Stud is Carlos Hyde. And I feel like if I was doing this every week, Carlos Hyde would come up time and time again as Trevor's stud. Despite the 49ers being terrible and having negative game scripts for the running back position, Carlos Hyde has really been awesome. I think he leads the league in running back targets, which is surprising because he hasn't always been like a receiving running back. But this year, man, he's getting a lot of usage, and he's really helping Trevor out. Dud is Austin Hooper. The dud should really be Zach Ertz, who was supposed to play up until like 12 o'clock on Sunday. So Trevor had to start Austin Hooper, and Austin Hooper only scored like 7 points, but you know, Trevor was in a tough spot. Bud, staying in the tight end position, OJ Howard for Sweeney scored negative points. He was like, he had one reception for like 5 yards, and then he also had a fumble. So negative points for OJ Howard. It was like negative 1.5. That's like the first time I remember ever seeing a tight end have negative points. And then that's the only Bud this week with negative points. But, OJ Howard, I think you a couple of weeks ago, you were looking like you broke out, and now, I don't know. Sweeney's probably not feeling too great about you. So those were the Week 9 matchups, and I think the most interesting thing that came out of Week 9 was now there are 5 teams that are 4-5. So, positions 5 through 9 are all 4-5. So right now it's very volatile. I want to take a look at those teams, and I already recorded a segment with Tim in which we took a look at them, and we figured out who we thought was going to make the playoffs. So let's kick it to past Keith and Tim. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for welcoming me back.
Yeah, it is currently 7:52 a.m. on Friday. You fell asleep last night. We were supposed to podcast, and I get a text from you this morning saying, I can pod now at like 6:50. And here we are. And,
yeah, I mean, when you have kids, you're just up. You're up early.
You are. I was up at 4 a.m. this morning.
I've been up at 4 a.m. the last two nights to this one, and 6:50 was not the not when I woke up. That was after I woke up, gotten the kids all ready, and was settling in for my day. So
yeah, my schedule is so screwed up. So I'm glad we're able to squeeze this one in. I did miss last week, but this podcast will be a Week 9/Week 10 podcast. So, you know, we did two Week 1 podcasts, so I'm going to count it.
Can we call Week 9 the Cordell week and Week 10 the Stewart week?
Sure. I was going to call it the bye week, but I like your idea better.
9/10 week.
I got it.
Can I explain my joke for the listeners?
Yeah, sure. Wow. trade deadline's coming up.
I know. Big couple days. I think today's Friday. I think tomorrow is the trade deadline at the end.
It is.
I think as I've shown, I am a clear seller. And so when I look at my team right now, Amari Cooper jumps out to me. Or, you know, if you're really looking for a good tight end in the stretch run and looking at Delanie Walker, or, you know, who's actually had to put together a few pretty good games in a row is Jeremy Maclin. If you're trusting the Ravens aerial attack, but, yeah, I guess I would say come asking. I have a few offers on the table that I'll probably accept soon. So if anyone's interested in some guys, and also Darren McFadden is here as well. If you want to take a flyer on someone who could be a top 10 back or completely worthless, let me know.
You've taken a flyer on him all season.
Yeah.
He's
special guest here. What was that, Nick? Nick, do you like football? What happens in football?
Yeah.
What happens?
I have a guess.
Touchdown. That's right.
Is it for fantasy purposes or Patriot purposes?
Patriot purposes.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you, Nick.
All right. So you're selling. What are you looking to buy at this point?
So looking to buy at this point, I'm actually looking for more of the mid round tier. So players who are who've been drafted, you know, probably in the round like 6 through that are keepable next year and that are good values, or also open to making a blockbuster. So if you're really, you know, if you're like, hey, I believe in Aaron Jones, undrafted guy, like I will flip him to you and assuming I'm getting a good piece back for the future. So open to all trade scenarios. Please send them my way. And just know that no hard feelings in any of this. Just looking to make a competitive team for next year.
All right, switching gears from trades that you want to happen to trades that you might take back with what you know now. Tim, give me one of those.
You know, alert here. This is the most boring trade of the year alert. But Stevie recently dropped Jamal Charles. I also recently dropped Mike Gillislee. We made a trade a while ago between those two players, and I think neither of them really started for us since.
Yeah, so, you and I both thought that trade was really going to work out for you, and it ended up just being like a nothing.
Absolutely nothing trade, which is, you know, just to put a plug in here, which is that's why it's hard to judge trades, you know, at the time, because you never know how it's going to come out. So.
True. I'm probably not looking to make any more trades, although I will say recently acquired Todd Gurley is on the block for the right player or players.
Interesting. I'll float that through my network. See if anyone's interested.
All right, Tim. So we only got like 10 more minutes. What I want to do is for you to predict the final standings amongst the five teams that are now 4-5. It's basically these five teams are fighting for the last two playoff spots. And I'm wondering who you think will eventually make the playoffs. And before you do, I want to throw some statistics at you and just see what comes out at the end. So as you know, I'm currently in fifth. Trevor's currently in sixth. Weber's currently in seventh. Katie, who had seemed to be a lock until very recently, is currently in eighth. And Sweeney is currently in ninth. I think I've always thought that you need to look at how a fantasy team's doing lately. So I do have average points during the last 5 weeks for you.
Yes, please.
And I want you, why don't you take a guess? Just like, I'll give you how many points do you think Weber is scoring per week over the last 5 weeks?
I'm going to guess he's probably, I have absolutely no idea, but I'm going to say around 100.
Very good guess. He's at 98.94. Trevor, how many points is Trevor scoring over the last 5 weeks?
Trevor, I'm going to guess he's at 105.
See, Trevor is sneaky good. He scored 122 points a game over the last 5 weeks. And I want to float his name out there as manager of the year. He has made some very shrewd moves, and no one's given him credit that I think he deserves. You know, between Robbie Anderson and Sterling Shepard, obviously keeping Ertz. What a move. Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round, but he's looking like he might be the best quarterback going forward. He's a sneaky good team, and I'm certainly scared of him.
You know, I'll take, you know, just to make some good radio here, I actually take the opposite view. I look at his team up and down, and, you know, Zach Ertz is a little hurt. Robbie Anderson, I've seen this story before. His name was Jermaine Kearse. Jets wide receiver scores a touchdown a couple weeks in a row. You feel good about them, and then they come back to earth, and it's kind of a mess. I mean, Sterling Shepard, yeah, he's put up some okay weeks, but I think Evan Ingram's the focus of that offense. Carlos Hyde's just waiting to be usurped by Matt Breida. Austin Hooper hasn't had a great year. And honestly, if we're trusting San Francisco wide receivers, the one thing that I really like is Mark Ingram on his team. I do think, for whatever reason, the Saints running backs have been good, but I love Russell Wilson as a fantasy quarterback, but I'm not sure I'm buying here.
All right. Well, the past 5 weeks tell a different story, but we'll see which one of us gets that right. Surprisingly, and I'll just give you the other three. Okay. Katie only averaging 103 points. Sweeney is at 105. And then I'm at 114. But Katie and I, if you took out her worst week and my best week, she would have way more points per week than me. So a lot of mediocrity, and then Trevor's doing pretty well. But then it becomes strength of schedule, you know?
Yep.
So I'll give you some other statistics there. I looked at the average points against for the remaining weeks, and these are based on projections. But Katie, she has the easiest strength of schedule going forward. 107 points a week. I'm second easiest with 112, and then Trevor, Weber, and Sweeney all have 116 points a week that are projected to be scored against them. All right. I know that is a lot to like take in, you know, but I just wanted to throw those things out there. One last tidbit I want to give you before you make this determination. Trevor and I, our last four games are all against top six. So I play Trevor and he's six currently, but then but then our other three games that aren't against each other, they're all against Marissa, Galligan, and D. So second, third, and fourth.
It's true. But you know, once again, if you're going based on points, second and third and fourth become like, you know, eighth, ninth, tenth or something. So doesn't necessarily mean it's a difficult slate. It's just
it could really influence more than just these final two spots, but the records say otherwise, so we'll see. But Trevor and I do play each other. Weber has Steve, Sweeney, Stevie, Devin, Katie has Galligan, Tim, Marissa, D. And Sweeney has Devin, Weber, Steve, Stevie. So I don't know what quite to make of it. But I threw a lot of data at you. Not sure you remember it all. But why don't we just go start from the bottom? Who do you think is finishing in ninth if we just assume all the other ranks stay the same? Like the bottom three and the top four, they don't change.
Okay. So I'm going to say finishing in last place among this group of five. Hot take here. I'm going to say is going to be Weber.
Weber. Okay.
Weber. I actually think Weber has a good team. I think it's just, ultimately, when I'm looking at it, bye weeks are hurting him this week. And so I'm ultimately just saying to myself, you know, there is a lot of upside for next year and a good trade that he made. But ultimately, he's probably going to struggle this week a bit. And so it just puts him one game back. And so if I'm just doing straight numbers, kind of coming in at fifth.
All right, Weber, ninth place. Sorry, man. Tim hates you.
I don't, Weber. I really respect you as a person.
All right, who's coming in at number eight?
Number eight, a team that I also was very high on at one point this season. And as I'm looking over their team, I think at full strength they're not, but I'm just using the same logic I applied to Weber. And I'm going to say Katie. I think Mike Evans suspended, Tyreek Hill on bye. This is going to be... Oh, actually, who is she playing this week?
I look at it. She's playing Galligan.
Yeah, Galligan's rough shape. All right, I take it back. Coming in at fourth is going to be Trevor.
Trevor, you mean the team I just said is managed by the manager of the year?
Yep. I think sometimes you can be the manager of the year and just have luck not fall your way. He's playing D this week. Somehow, I think D will have an amazing week and hurt Trevor's chances going forward. And as you said, he's got a tough schedule coming up. And I don't know how Zach Ertz is playing, and I would imagine that the Eagles will take it easy with him. So
it doesn't help for him that the Niners are on bye next week, and I play him at full strength. So,
yeah, I almost wonder if there's a. I think he is a team that actually could really be helped by Amari Cooper. When I look at his wide receivers, starting Robbie Anderson and Marquise Goodwin. So if he's listening and he's interested in some sort of Delaney Walker or Amari Cooper tandem for Zach Ertz, I'm selling.
All right. Well, I don't think he listens to the podcast, so you might want to send that trade offer to him directly. Okay. Number 7, just out of playoffs.
Just out of the playoffs. I am going to say, it is going to be Katie.
Ooh.
I love her team, and I actually think it's better than some of these other teams, but I think...
Well, you just said you didn't like it.
I said I didn't like it because I thought that she was going to lose this week because she has two stud players on her bench, but I actually think she might somehow pull out a win against Galligan because his team is struggling right now, a lot through no fault of his own. And so,
traded his entire team for Deshaun Watson, I think it was kind of his fault.
Yeah, but then he flipped Deshaun Watson for something as well. So,
sure.
Sometimes trades just don't work out as well as you would.
All right, so then let's look at it. He traded Antonio Brown, DeMarco Murray, Andrew Luck, and Kyle Rudolph for Julio Jones and Jameis Winston. I'm gonna firmly place the blame on Galligan. I'm taking that stance.
All right. Galligan's making the playoffs, and he'll do well. But
so Katie is coming in at number 7. So you have me and Sweeney in the playoffs. I do want to let you know that I'm absolutely losing to Marissa this week. If she could handpick every team that her players were playing, I don't think she could have done a better job than what she has this week. She has Le'Veon Bell against the Colts. She has Matthew Stafford against the Browns. She has Jordan Howard against the Packers. She has Evan Ingram against the Niners. She has Demaryius Thomas against the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if we could go back in time, I think probably one of the biggest mistakes on everyone in the league was probably not picking up Evan Ingram sooner. He had had a few good weeks and was still in free agency until Marissa smartly snatched him up.
Well,
and I think he, in a lot of ways, helps complete her team by giving her a good tight end presence after the loss of Greg Olsen.
Well, I think the injury to Greg Olsen was the best thing that could have happened to her, because not only is Evan Ingram just as good as Greg Olsen, you know, in my eyes.
Yeah.
But he's keepable next year. So her team's set up really well. And I was thinking about that too. Like, I was looking at Evan Ingram over and over again, and I was thinking, like, I should really pick him up. But I was like, well, I have Delaney Walker, and I don't really want to hold two tight ends. And I think one thing that my team has suffered from is just having big names that, like, I couldn't really part with, and I thought that I was, like, in better shape than I was, you know? So I got a little complacent, and I wasn't looking out for possible replacements for these guys that ended up being good but not great.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, again, if you just look at points scored, you're doing all right. I mean, you've had a good year.
Sure.
You've scored the second most amount of points.
Sure.
So I think it's hard to criticize yourself too much there. I guess I would say you are right, and that I think big names are almost more valuable when it comes time if you want to be a seller. I think that big names are valued, and I think rightfully so. I think you need to win a championship. You need to have big names. But I agree with you in the sense that you feel like you can't part with big names and trades, whereas when you're selling, you're pretty excited to have big names and trades.
Yeah. And having open spots on your roster where you're like, I really need to find someone who will fit this, makes you more active in the free agency, and you take chances on players, and then sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But if you're not taking chances, then you're never going to get anyone decent from the free agency. So it's a little bit of just looking back, I feel like I was a little too complacent. All right. So that was a bit of a tangent. Who's sixth, me or Sweeney?
Sixth, I am saying it is going to be Sweeney.
God damn it, Tim.
I want to like Sweeney more. I do. The quarterback situation, as somebody who struggled with not having a good quarterback, it's been a little hard, to watch. And actually, I'm also banking this on David Johnson coming back in the next couple weeks, which I feel like may or may not happen.
I don't think it's happening. I think they've come out and said it's not going to happen.
All right. Fine. With that in mind, I'm dropping Sweeney to to fourth. So bump Trevor and Katie.
All right. So now Katie's making the playoffs.
Now Katie's making the playoffs.
Okay. See, I really did not want you to come here and like say anything nice about my team, because like every time you're on, you're like, oh yeah, you're the top of my power rankings. You're going to do great. Blah, blah, blah. And not only has my team like, first it had bad luck in scheduling, but now it hasn't been performing. Like, I'm not convinced my team is very great. And that I also feel like you're giving me bad luck right now.
Hey, if we're right before the trade deadline, if you are interested, I don't know if this would go through the league, I will make a full team for full team swap for your last coming down the stretch run.
Why would you do that? I don't know that I have a single person. I've literally sold all my keepers. Like, you and I have the polar opposite teams. You are all keepers. You're going to have like 8 keepers next year, and my team will be completely blown up. You know,
hey, we talked a lot about how a 5-7 team could or 6-7 team could make the playoffs. So
I think
I'd like to say I'm not mathematically eliminated yet. I think after this week I will be, but not yet.
Yeah, I mean, with 5-4-5 teams, you imagine one of them is going to go 3-1, and one of them's, you know, and then like at least two of them are going to go 2-2. So I do have a bet with Marissa in which I thought 2 6-7 teams were going to make the playoffs, but that was before Galligan and D were both 6-3. They won some games I didn't expect. So I think there's going to be 1-2 teams that are 7-6 out of this group. So I think you're done, Tim. I think you're done.
Well, I can always play spoiler. So yeah. I feel bad for any teams that are in my way.
Well, funny you mention it, because you know how I said Trevor had 122 points over the last 5 weeks average? Yep. So that's good for second best in the league. He's over 30 points below Steve, and D is under 30 points below Trevor, and she has the fewest points in the league. So Steve's been utterly dominant. But you're coming in fourth with 113 points a week. So yeah, your team's been pretty good.
Those were all losses too.
Yeah.
Pretty close to it. Steve's in an interesting stretch. There's a lot of question marks, but there's also a world where he continues to stay dominant and finishes the year out as a dominant.
So I know we were talking, we haven't talked about Ezekiel Elliott, and I know we're just going all over the place, but the suspension was reinstated, but I guess the appeal has been rushed. And it will be heard on December 1st, which means Elliott's definitely missing the remainder of our fantasy regular season, but he could be back in week 15. Right now he's out for week 15, but if he's back in week 15, Steve is looking much better, because that's all that Steve cares about at this point. He literally has already clinched the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, this team looks good. And I think, you know, I think the other thing, if the Texans sign Colin Kaepernick, I think Dustin Hopkins would, DeAndre Hopkins would be a lot better.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right. I almost just confused the best fantasy wide receiver with a kicker. That's right.
And I almost confused them both with the Rain Man or whatever. isn't the movie Rain Man Dustin Hoffman?
Oh, Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
Anyway. But his team is vulnerable. You can't deny that. Six games without Elliott. Tom Savage throwing to his best player. Yeah. You know.
Well, like, I mean, look at it this way. Being on being a commissioner of this league, the thing that you want, or a co-commissioner, is what I want is for there to be competitiveness and excitement, and also parity year to year. And I feel like even though Steve is so dominant right now and may continue to be dominant, at least there's a little bit of doubt, which gives other teams hope.
It does.
As co-commissioner, I'm pretty excited about how this year is unfolding.
Yeah, can I just say you're the worst commissioner this league has ever had. He literally added a player to my team without my knowledge and then changed the league title. Like, you brought nothing but negativity here.
I actually feel like I have offered you one of the cleverest and most fun team names that I have seen. And actually doing a Google search, I have not found a single person who has named their team One Bad Quambre.
Yeah, no one's named their team Ajayi 5-0 either, and that team went 2-5.
I think there's been a lot of people who have named their team Ajayi 5-0.
No, I haven't found it once. That is my creation, and I
challenge listeners to Google.
Whatever.
I'm not saying you didn't create it yourself, and that you didn't have this wonderful idea. I'm just saying there are others out there who also had the same wonderful idea.
All right, Tim. All right. Well. Fly Ajayi Fly is 2-0, so I'm never going back.
One Bad Quambre has never lost a game either. So
yeah, well, he hasn't won one either, and he's looking, if we count this week, then he's going to go 0-1. So to run that back down, you think Weber is finishing in the basement.
No, then Sweeney, then Trevor, then Katie, then you.
Yeah, got it. You'd change it so many times that I got lost. Yeah.
Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think if a team of these five really wants to be guaranteed a spot, they need to win 3 of 4 games. And me and Weber, who are likely losing this week, we're going to have a tough time doing it. So if I were to predict the playoff teams, I'm definitely going Trevor. I'm putting Trevor in there. And then I think with her weak schedule, I think it's going to be Katie. So I got Trevor and Katie.
Well, I think everyone earns what they get. And I'm not saying it's due to the schedule, but I think Katie's making it as well.
All right. Well, let's really quickly predict the matchups. Okay. Like, I'm not going to give you any information on them.
I'm not even going to look at the teams. So you just,
all right.
I'm judging
all right,
on which name I like more.
Okay, well, that's not true because you know the teams. Anyway, me versus Marissa, who you got?
I like the name Marissa more than Keith. I got Marissa.
All right, so do I. Steve versus Weber.
I do like Weber. Weber is a cooler name than Steve, so I'm going to say Weber.
All right, I disagree. I'm going Steve. Stevie versus you.
You. Sounds like I'm an Asian guy. I'm going to say that I like Stevie over me.
Well, he just got 21 points from Jimmy Graham, so that's a good start. But you have honestly one of the best running backs in the league with Alvin Kamara, so I got you. All right, Galligan versus Katie.
I already chose the last name and preferring, so I don't want to be known as the last name guy, so I'm going to say Katie is a better name than Galligan.
Yeah, I don't like Galligan here. He just started Thomas Rawls, who got 8.4 points. D, who has 21 points from Fitzgerald against the Seahawks, versus Trevor, who got 28 points from Russell Wilson, currently projected to to lose by 2 points. Trevor is.
You know, these don't happen very often, but I am feeling a tie here.
A tie. Me, wow.
Trevor, tie. You all heard right. it here first, folks.
All right. I have Trevor. Sweeney versus the Nick Folklore, Devin.
The Nick Folklore. I'm going to break from my tradition on picking based on names and just say that I think Sweeney's going to pull this one out.
All right. So you got Sweeney.
Close.
So do I. I have Sweeney. All right. Well, those are the Week 10 matchups. I have to get to work. Thank you for coming on this podcast on such short notice.
No problem. It was a pleasure. Later.
Later.